nobody has scored. We played 2.5 minutes already. And Jones, finally. Dallin for three, gets it to go. A 23-5 run.
For Dallin, oh! What did we just see? It is BYU by 21.
Bogdanovic lays it in.
That's what Hilton Magic will give you, a little bit of energy, a little bit of life.
Here comes BYU. This game's going to overtime. Kata from behind blocked it. With 1 second on the clock.
And the Cougs have done it.
Welcome to a winning BYU Sports Station presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere, Wednesday, March 5th. Woo! What a win in Ames. Oh, my goodness. I'm Jerem Jordan. He is sports psychologist Dave McCann.
It took a while to get to sleep last night. You know, the brain's just going. That game was like a journey through life.
Yes.
Rocky at the start, and then it gets a little better, and then it gets good, and then it's phenomenal. It's like, oh, my gosh, how is this even happening? And then it gets hard and difficult and disastrous, and you're thinking, how is this happening? And then you keep going, and then it starts to get a little bit better, and then all the drama comes in, then you have that finish, and at the end of it, you're feeling great, going, man, that was quite a ride.
How did that happen?
That's life. And it's also March Madness when you have a team that won't give up.
Yep.
And BYU's a team that doesn't quit. And all of that in 2.5 hours of a roller coaster.
It was almost
amazing.
Three.
Yeah.
Like, it was the longest.
And then it lingered well
ever.
Into the night. But we don't get those moments often in life. We got one last night.
Unbelievable game. All-time win. Loaded show for you today. We'll recap the double overtime win at number 10, Iowa State. Kevin Young's face says it all right there. Yeah! ESPN's Sean Farnham will join us again because BYU won. Can't wait to talk to him about all those turnovers. Post-game sound from Kevin Young. Plus, it's the home opener for the BYU baseball team today. Dave on the call on ESPN Plus. I'll have the call on BYU Radio. Why? Because Greg Rubella stuck with the men's basketball team in Iowa. So we're here for this. Crew McChesney will help us, the center fielder for the Cougars, be in studio. Loaded program. All rise and shout. It's time for a winning edition of What's Trending.
We're going to overtime, tied at 68.
Yegor Demin just kind of throws it away to what you think is going to be a layup. And look at Kaba Kata. Look at this sprint. Oh, my goodness.
Kata from behind. Blocked it.
Is that the greatest defensive play in BYU basketball history? We'll talk about it. That was unbelievable. Number 23, BYU. Battles back after turning it over 12 times early in this game, goes up 21, loses the lead, goes to overtime, goes to double overtime. They win 88-85 at number 10, Iowa State. The win extends BYU's win streak to 7 games. BYU now on this unbelievable run, playing like a top 10 team in the country. Dave, we talked about what this win would mean yesterday. They've won it now, so what does it mean?
And they found another way to do it, right? Dallin Hall gets 22 points, a season high. Richie did what he did. Kaba had the best game of his life.
Yep.
9 offensive rebounds, and they're all huge. I thought he was in his finest hour. Win or lose down the stretch, I thought this was the best of Kaba Kata. And you know what? This close to the tournament, all of a sudden you see the best game out of your center. How do you not scream about that? And he's not even the main story. I think the variety of the defensive mag and Trey Stewart and plays like this where you just sit there scratching your head going, Dallin Hall's getting lob dunks. That's what this team has become.
You in trouble when Dallin Hall's getting lob dunks. I love Parker Kingston, who went to Roy High School, said that's the Dallin Hall I remember competing against from Fremont High.
Yeah.
And he was unbelievable. So you saw in the graphic there, BYU, during this 7-game win streak, 5-0 versus quad one teams. This is a quad 1A road win. 3-0 versus ranked teams. You think about Kansas and Arizona. 34-point win over Kansas. Feels like an eternity ago. We thought that would be the best win of the year. That's the third best win of the year because the second best win was at Arizona. And then Iowa State becomes your best win of the year. Arizona and Iowa State, top 10 net teams. You go on the road and you win those games. I know the rankings are just a little bit different. I don't care about the rankings. Net is the sorting tool. It's what the committee uses. Unbelievable. So now BYU has locked up a top 4 seed and a double bye in the Big 12 tournament.
And timing's everything. You win this game on December 31st. It's so different from winning it the first week of
March.
Because that's what everyone's thinking about. And yeah, a double bye into Kansas City. And maybe they could even get up to the 3 seed, but What matters is you don't have to play.
Up for grabs, technically.
Yeah. You don't have to play till Thursday, which allows you to get home eventually from Ames and the storm.
They're still there.
A few days to get ready for Utah and then some rest for a team that, as you saw last night, runs all over the place. Richie Saunders played 47 minutes.
Unbelievable.
Now this makes sense to me why, hey, you know what? He didn't play a whole lot against West Virginia. He played 47 minutes a few nights later against Iowa State because Richie's the cornerstone and they needed all 47 minutes
out of
Richie last night and all 13 free throws. And
unbelievable that, as you mentioned, he's tired and he makes his free throws.
Yeah.
That showed me a lot about Richie. Up to 24 in net, up to 23 in KenPom. BYU, by the way, 6-1 in quad twos as well. You look at the Colonel, Richie Saunders, 23 points last night. Didn't shoot it particularly well, but made some timely shots, got to the line, those rebounds, the minutes, the defense. Unbelievable. Like, it took every ounce of what everybody had from BYU. You saw Dallin Hall cramping up. All the turnovers, we'll get to those in a second, trust me, and the officiating. Since February 11th, Bart Torvik, college basketball analyst, stat guru, has BYU playing the second best basketball in the nation behind Duke. BYU is on fire right now since January 21st after the Utah loss. He still has BYU playing the seventh best basketball since then. The Cougars are playing like it's 2020, Dave. I said this after the Arizona game. I'll repeat it here. It feels like 2020, where BYU is peaking at the right time. They've got all the pieces to be dangerous in March. And thankfully, there's not a global pandemic to stop it this time.
That's right. Let's show you the stats. And I think one key number which shows significant improvement in a crunch time game was at the free throw line.
Mm.
BYU last night was 25 of 31.
That's amazing.
There have been games where they lost games. They were 4 of 10 from the line when they lost to Utah by 1 point up in Salt Lake City. But these are the numbers from last night. Made 11 threes. The Cyclones got 8. But,
Free throws. Both teams shot 31 free throws, by the way. In the poorest officiated game I have ever seen, both teams got to the line equally.
And look at those rebounds.
The rebounds offset the turnovers. Because you talk about extra possessions. The 29 turnovers are just silly. I mean, just stupid. In fact, I'm going to skip ahead to something that is just crazy. Okay, at OptiStats,
right,
who gives us great stuff, BYU is the first team to have 29-plus turnovers against an AP top 25 opponent and still win the game since Iowa had 31 against number 10 Kansas in 1998. Teams have gone 0-117 against ranked opponents when having 29-plus turnovers since that Iowa victory. For a minute there, it felt like BYU was going to get blown out early in this game. Then they swung it around. They used the aggression against Iowa State and got to the free throw line, got some open looks. Went up by 21. We thought it was over on the Dallin Hall dunk. Then BYU started to turn it over again. They overcame an unbelievably terrible turnover game. I thought the officiating was the worst I've ever seen it in any game I've ever seen in my life.
It was a football game. They turned it into
a
football game.
It was way too physical, and it played into what Iowa State does.
Sure.
And so they were slapping, reaching, and BYU did not handle that well early. Like, there's a couple of moments where Yegor Demon thinks he's getting a foul call. He doesn't, and it just kind of stops. The pass that Kata eventually chased down, what is that pass? I don't know.
No one knows.
But Yegor, by the way, got pulled. He comes back in. He hits some timely shots, mm-hmm. Dave. He hits the opening three at the beginning of overtime. Hits a couple of free throws. He makes a layup. He stayed in it. Credit to him. Dallin Hall had 6 turnovers just like Yegor. He stayed in it mentally, cramping up, 22 points. These guys had to go through a lot from the officials, from themselves, from the crowd, from their own performance. But they are tough. The resilience, the toughness of this BYU team, that matters in March. This team is dangerous next week in the Big 12 tournament, and they're dangerous wherever they go in the NCAA tournament.
The visual on turnovers for me makes the most sense. When you went into to play a team ranked 10th on their home floor and said, well, okay, we're going to try to beat you, and we're going to give you the ball 29 more times, and then we're still going to try to beat you. And then they did. That doesn't make any sense.
The plus 28 rebounds is crazy. Like, yeah. Those two stats, it's hard to know what was worse. What was better?
I don't know.
But I know that BYU just, like, kept the pedal down. And they had the momentum, and they were making more plays in at the end of regulation and overtime. The defensive play that BYU made to prevent Iowa State, who was hunting a game-winning three, by the way. I don't know why they didn't just settle for a two to tie the game. Mawit Mag and Trey Stewart, the headbands on the perimeter.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Because Momchilovic has a terrible look from the corner at the end of the game.
Here it is.
Look at the contest. Iowa State should have driven the ball and tied this game. I don't know why they felt like they had to just chuck up a three.
Sometimes
that was a terrible play for them,
threes.
Right?
Yeah.
BYU did a great job of getting it. Trey Stewart, limited minutes.
Two seniors.
Absolutely. How about senior night's going to be rocking?
Yeah.
For those guys.
It's going to be insane.
In the Marriott.
Let's
Center.
Show you the leaders from last night. And you look at these numbers, and it's hard to go, man, I'm looking at these numbers. And really, there were 29 turnovers. Yet at the same time, these are numbers that they put up on Iowa State's home floor, which we heard all about going in, one of the toughest home environments in all of America, the Marriott Center. I have something to say about that, too. But
Marriott's greater than Hilton? I know it's not named after the hotel guy, but still.
Richie, 23. Hall, 22. Yegor fought through a lot, still 12 points, 6 boards. Mag with 10 points. He had a big three as the shot clock was winding down in the first few minutes of that second half. And then Kay Bakeda with 7 points and 15 rebounds, 3 blocked shots. I thought he was a beast in there. He had his hands full because when Iowa State pounded the glass, they had their big guys as well. Jefferson came alive in that second half, but I thought we got a glimpse of Kaba, not only for the rest of this year and what he can do next year at that center spot.
Oh, man, it's going to be fun. Okay, Greg Rebell reminds us of something we talked about yesterday. Before tonight, Iowa State this season was 9-0 in Big 12 play and 19-1 overall with its full complement of players. Momchilovich, Gilbert, Jones have all missed games due to injury. You remember the one loss? It's to number one Auburn. They're now 19-2 because BYU is playing like a top 10 team right now. Seth Davis hoops. Not sure people understand that BYU is legit Final Four good. This tweeted this morning, by the way. The knock on this program used to be it couldn't win on the road, but the Cougs have done that repeatedly, including two of the toughest gyms in the country, Arizona and Iowa State. Take note, bracket filler outers.
That's huge from Seth Davis.
Yes.
Who's been so good at what he does for so long.
One of the big voices in college basketball.
Yeah. All right, those are those voices.
He said Final Four with BYU. Listen, Sweet 16 is very, very possible for this team and exciting. Frankly, this team needs to win one NCAA tournament game.
Get out of the first round.
To just give us that check mark, stack days, do all that. Kevin Young's talked about stacking, and BYU continues to do that. In fact, here's the head ball coach on the massive win last night.
You know, they made us obviously just go out there and find a way to earn that one. That was just a toughness game, bottom line. I mean, we had 29 turnovers and still won. I've never really seen that before. But, you know, we were 52 to 34 on the glass, so that kind of evened the thing out. Cable was incredible. These two guys were amazing. But, man, I'm tired, and I don't know what else to say, but I do want to just make sure that give so much credit to that team. And they're very, very tough, and that was a heck of a ball game.
You know, you go back to what we said yesterday. Last year at this time, you're sitting on the Suns bench. And now he's waking up in a snowstorm in Ames, Iowa,
yes,
having pulled off this massive achievement with a bunch of guys he didn't even know 12 months ago. I mean, it's quite a story.
Richie and Down look so tired, by the way. They just look gassed. They gave everything they had. Let's talk about some of the plays in this game. We've addressed them a little bit, but the video of Trey Stewart, when he threw the lob to Dallin Hall, I was like, oh, we're throwing a lob. And then Dallin got up. Like, I don't know if we knew Dallin could do this. How about Steph Curry with the dunk the other night? He said, probably the last dunk of my life. The alley-oop to Dallin Hall, which, by the way, Trey Stewart put this on Instagram. Sunday school counselor to Sunday school president, come to second hour.
There it is right there. That's classic. So that was a buzz all over social media and certainly on ESPN.
I thought it was over right then.
Yeah.
I thought they're up 21. They're going to run them out, right? Nope.
And I would have loved, you know, thinking, that's Trey Stewart thinking right here. Hey, I got Dallin Hall in a lob going up. And he went up and he threw it down.
New shoes, new bunnies for Dallin.
So that was one of the big plays. Another of the big plays is this block.
Oh.
It follows a turnover, but Kaba comes down and swats this would-be dunk.
Left-handed, by the way.
It's a three-point game when this block happens.
Yes.
BYU's in the lead, so they get that done. What they also do is that arena was loud and on fire, but it kept the roof on it, right? This was a big disappointing moment for Iowa State in this exchange, and this was just phenomenal. And then we thought, Nate Slack tweeted out, the basketball equivalent of Tyler Algier's forced fumble against Arizona State.
100%. Nate was not alone in this ideology, which, by the way, Kevin Young, for as sort of, he wasn't connected to BYU, didn't go here. He knows about that play. Yeah. In the post game on the radio, I was listening. He goes, oh, nice Tyler Allgeier reference, by the way. That was an egregious mistake. Yegor Demin just lobs it in, right? Jaren Hall, what is this interception? This is the Tyler Allgeier punch out for basketball. This is one of the greatest defensive plays from an offensive and defensive player. There you go.
There you go.
That BYU has ever seen. And you think about, I'm telling you, every moment matters in a double overtime win on the road against number 10. Every piece of hustle mattered. That was unbelievable.
The Allgeier play didn't lead to points, but it prevented Arizona State from momentum.
Yes.
And the same thing here as Kaba denies the dunk. On the other end, BYU got a foul shot, so they ended up going up by four. But that, the house would have come down. And so those two plays stopped the potential from Arizona State or Iowa State. And it's a great analogy. Perfect.
Felt like LeBron's chase down block against the Warriors in Game 7. Like, this was unbelievable. Someone put out a still frame of it cropped of the guy at his biggest lead and said, imagine having this kind of space and not scoring the basketball. Yeah. It was unbelievable. Okay, Big 12 standings. BYU secures a top four seed. Again, they can get as high as the two seed. They need Texas Tech to lose to Colorado and Arizona State. That's probably not going to happen. Need Arizona to lose one more, too. Then the tiebreakers would shake out. Man, BYU top four. They were picked ninth in the preseason poll, Dave, and they get the double bye. So what that means is next Thursday, BYU is going to come in the four versus either 5 or what is it, 11-12 or 12-13 game. Thank you, 12-13. So BYU likely rematching with Iowa State coming up next Thursday morning. I'll be there live. Spencer will be here with coverage from the Big 12 tournament.
From a historical standpoint, as you look at those standings, it's the second straight year that BYU's been in the Big 12 and finished ahead of Kansas. I mean, just think about that.
Yet lost twice in football. Like, we would have never guessed either of those two facts, which stinks on the football end. But unbelievable performance from men's hoops. And we should acknowledge, like, we expected Kevin Young to be very good. He's been better than we even thought. Like, what he's done with this staff and these players at this time, this, again, this is 2020 BYU. But we get to watch that NCAA tournament this time. And BYU's peaking at the right time. They're playing great, and it's unbelievable. So after the game, Kevin Young was asked about the potential of rematching Iowa State and brought up his excitement to coach in March Madness.
Don't turn the ball over. Nah, I mean, that'll be a I got to catch my breath to even process that. I'm sure they do too. But nah, I mean, it's what, you know, this is my first time doing, you know, the whole March Madness thing. And so it's just every time I was in the NBA and March would roll around, I was like, man, I bet it's so fun to coach college basketball in March. And here we are. So, you know, you get a chance to play against really good teams who have really good players and are super well coached. So as a competitor, man, that's what you look forward to, you know, being able to hopefully right some of the wrongs from this game if that ends up holding true. You know, that'll be a big time game.
Richie really struggled through that answer.
They're so tired.
Just wiped out.
Oh my gosh. BYU wins at Iowa State. You think about what BYU's been able to accomplish and where they were when BYU was 2-4 in the Big 12. They'd lose to Utah and TCU. There's some frustration there. And Kevin Young says the following. I'm not as concerned about how we're playing right now as I am. How are we playing in March?
Yeah.
BYU's on fire. BYU's one of the hottest teams in America, if not the hottest team.
Eric Mika pointed out the other day a key thing in the turn of the season as Mag started the Oklahoma State game. And they're 12-3 since Mag's been a starter because he brought some zip to the defense. Mm-hmm. He can hit a three on occasion, as we saw. And then Trey Stewart's been added more and more,
yes,
who brings some senior leadership but tenacious defense. And they become such a better defensive team over the last 3 weeks. It's just incredible what we've seen.
They held Iowa State in check there in that first half and got that, you know, 21-point lead early in the second. It was crazy. Our question of the day is this. What was your favorite moment from BYU's double overtime win at Iowa State? There's a lot to pick from. At Travis Larson, 32 on X. Kata's block would go down as an all-timer, a la Morrell's leap at Hawaii, Allgeier's punch. Love that. Unbelievable effort, and it happened in a critical moment of the game. We don't win without that play. Go Cougs.
At AR Kansas Coug on X, can't top the throwdown from Dallin, but my favorite part was Trey throwing the lob. Unselfish decision, for sure. Perfect pass. Huge smile afterwards. That's the trifecta right there.
The Sunday school homies. And how about that mustache from Dalton Hall?
That's really coming in.
The March mustache is happening. At 49er Coug on X. 1A, Kaba's rundown block. 1B, Hall's alley-oop. 1C, absolute lockdown defense by Mag and Trey at the end of OT2 for the shot clock violation. That was big, too, because at first you thought it was Kaba Kata got fouled, and you thought, well, hopefully he makes free throw. It's a two-point game with just 3 seconds. No, it was a shot clock violation. They could get the ball into Dalton Hall, and he made that first free throw, which was everything.
I'm sure Iowa State's just sitting there going, what were we doing? Right on that play. Why did we settle for
they
that
They hunted
shot?
A three for no reason.
And then BYU can look at it and go, we gave them no other options. Didn't give them a lane to the basket. Didn't give them an open look. And defense won.
Refs would have bailed them out. Trust me. They would have gotten another call.
They
would have been to the free throw line again. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Cougars return home from Iowa at some point today. Just in time for tomorrow's season finale of BYU basketball with Kevin Young. It's must-see TV. Coach will talk about last night's experience and preview Saturday's regular season finale against Utah. You can watch the show Thursday at 8:30 Eastern time on the BYU TV app.
Up next, when you get a top 10 road win, you do something special, which means back-to-back days of ESPN's Sean Farnham. We'll talk about the massive win in Ames. This is BYU Sports Nation.
The Cougars have the ball first. Saunders open, makes a three. Mag tapped it away from behind.
Trey lobs it up.
Dalton Hall throws it down!
Over to Hall for three.
This sprint. Oh, my goodness. What a winning play.
What a win for BYU against Iowa State. Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann in Studio B for your Cougar Sports day-to-day play-by-play. And we had Sean Farnham on yesterday, which means we're probably not going to have him on today, right?
Typically, that's
unless BYU beats Iowa State. Yesterday, Sean said the following about the key to win for BYU in Ames.
Those turnover numbers, that's the number to watch tonight for me. Okay. If you keep the turnover numbers down, you got a chance.
We welcome back Sean Farnham to the program. And, Sean, I think what you meant was if BYU's under 30 turnovers, they're going to be just fine, right?
Guys, so I posted the amazing stat. And, I mean, as the game was coming to an end, I yelled at our researcher, Sage Smith, who I give all the credit to. I said, when's the last time a top 10 team was beat at home or on the road? Doesn't matter. With an opponent that had 29 turnovers. And he quickly found out that it hasn't happened for a top 25 team, let alone a top 10 team, in the last 25 years. I put 20. We ended up going back even five more years, which is about as far as our database would go on it. And it hadn't happened in the last 25 years.
Incredible.
So I send that out and on Twitter. And then I have a couple of people, you were wrong. Turnovers didn't matter. I'm like, did you watch the game? Don't tell me that turnovers didn't matter. Like, It mattered a great deal. The fact that you won, that was incredible. And I know we're going to talk about it in much bigger detail. But, you know, you watch the start of that game, and you had 9 turnovers in the first 10 minutes and only 5 points. Over the next 15 minutes of actual game time, maybe up to 20 minutes of actual game time, you had 3 turnovers. And you built a 21-point lead. And then you decided, you know what, this not turning the ball over thing, that's worked too well for us. Let's see if we can have 10 turnovers in the next 5 minutes and see how that works out for us. And Yegor Demon standing underneath his own basket on an inbounds, like, you know what? Let me see if I throw them an outlet pass if Kaba Kata can go down and block the shot off the backboard. That'd be fun to watch. And it was just insane the amount of turnovers and insane that they were able to win the game. You had more turnovers than you had made field goals. And that, to me, just blows my mind. It really did. It was one of those games. Seth Greenberg and I were sitting next to each other on the set, and we were, like, wishing we had a half-hour show after the game to talk about it because there was so much to break down about what we witnessed and what we saw in that contest.
Well, now that the dust has settled, what did you see in BYU last night that you hadn't seen before? Outside of the turnovers, because they ended up winning and came home with one of their biggest wins in program history. What did you see out of them that was new?
I would say this. It's not something necessarily new, guys. I mean, we've all watched this team a ton over the course of the season and even in previous years. Their toughness, like their mental toughness, their physical toughness, their relentlessness of how they competed. You know, even on that final possession for Iowa State, which was not a great set by Iowa State by any stretch of the imagination, but defensively watch the positioning of BYU, see how they were defending, see how they were pressuring without fouling in that instance. Their ability to compete on the glass. I think there were a lot of things last night that if this was the first time you saw BYU, you were like, wow, they really rebound the ball well for a team that doesn't really have, you know, a lot of size. Well, their guards have been great rebounders all season long. That's not new. You know, they've been a physical team. You know, they are able to withstand the physicality of Iowa State and not make excuses, not get upset, and just keep plowing through. And I thought there was a lot of great instances of that over the course of the game. And I think that's where you look at this team and go, this team is different. And this team has a chance in March to do something pretty cool.
Plus 28 on the boards, top four seed. Hopefully continue to climb the seed line in the NCAA tournament. There were so many amazing moments in place. What was your favorite play from the game? Because BYU fans were freaking out over a couple of them.
Well, I mean, you can get excited about Dallin Hall on the alley-oop from Trey Stewart. That was pretty good. I will tell you this. Best play of the game, and it's not even close. Is Kevin Young doing what he does and saying, you know what, I want to make sure everybody knows how elite I am as a coach and how I can organize my team. Side out of bounds or underneath out of bounds, I forget exactly where it was, but they throw the ball over the top and Richie Saunders is standing in the backcourt, full out sprint, head of steam, gets downhill and gets the layup. And that was such a, like, how do you turn pressure against the opponent? You have to create and manufacture space. And Richie's standing on the other side of half court. What's the innate thing that happens when you throw the ball inbounds short of where that player is? What's the defensive player usually going to do? And turn their head. Second they turn their head, Richie's on a full out sprint for that dribble handoff and getting right downhill and gets a great layup. And that was an outstanding play call by Kevin Young. It was outstanding execution by everybody that was out on the floor for that play. And it was a big bucket that was needed in that moment, for sure.
Let me ask you about Richie. He played 47 minutes, made all 13 of his free throws. You make free throws when you're tired. That says something in and of itself. 23 points. Did he play himself into all Big 12 first team last night?
I thought he already was.
Really?
I thought that he already was. I don't have a vote in that. I should call the league office and be like, I'd like to have a vote on that since I do so many of the games in the Big 12 this year and yeah. I'm doing the tournament. Richie Saunders is a first-team all-conference player. Like, if you look, and you have to take also into perspective, I think winning matters for those kind of honors. I do. And there's a lot. And it's going to be really interesting to see how many people they put on first team. Because of how many teams there are in the conference, there's going to be a lot of really good players that don't get those honors. Like Javon Small has had a great season for West Virginia. Does he get those honors? Like LJ Cryer has been great for Houston, could be easily the conference player of the year. Curtis Jones, Keyshawn Gilbert. You keep going. Hunter Dickinson stats, I mean, probably garners a lot of attention in that regard. But I think Richie Saunders and what he's meant to a team that came into the year, as we talked about and alluded to yesterday, ninth in the preseason poll. And now they're sitting at number four and they're going to get, you know, take care of business against your rival Utah and get a get right game against them since they got you in Salt Lake. Then all of a sudden you're the four seed in the Big 12 tournament, which means you don't play until Thursday. I mean, that is huge. And as I mentioned yesterday, guys, like, the win yesterday is more important than the NCAA than the win would be in Kansas City, because you did it on that court, that environment. Like, when you look at your tournament resume, and I'm probably jumping to another question that you were going to ask me, so I apologize because I'm amped about this game. So, and I'm amped about
hey,
what I watched.
Are we?
Go for it.
So I apologize, but you look at the NCAA tournament that's lying ahead. What are some of the things that they use against BYU for seeding purposes? Well, the non-conference schedule. Kevin Young talked about it with me before the Kansas game, says we got to get a better non-conference schedule. It wasn't good enough. So, but you couldn't change that, and that is what it is. All right. Then you go into conference play, and you're really good at home. But you lose at Utah. You lose at Kansas State. And people are going, well, can they win on the road? Well, now you've got two of the best road wins of any team in the country at Arizona and at Iowa State. And to win in those two environments and checking off those boxes, that is a definitive statement, a loud statement to the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee of who you are and how you can execute away from your building. That's important because why? Every NCAA tournament game is not played at home. No one's coming to Provo to play in the NCAA tournament. So you've got to prove that you can do it away from home. And last night, when really the game should have been put away and you just kept coughing it up and allowed them to walk back through the door and then make something out of it, the resiliency, the toughness, the execution in those pivotal moments, even the mislayup by Richie when Kevin had them take the ball, had Dallin Hall dribble to the left-hand side of the court, call timeout, inbound, fake the dribble handoff and turn the corner. Like, the great execution, even though the result wasn't, the finish wasn't there on that particular play. It was just outstanding connectivity between coach and team last night. And as I said yesterday, I feel like this is a sixth seed in the NCAA tournament. And I stay true to that. And I know that, you know, people look at different things and I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But it's really hard pressed for me to sit there and look at the Big 12 in its totality of the top to bottom and look at all the metrics. Like 26 out of the last 27 champions have been in the top 45 defensively and top 20 offensively. There's three teams out of the Big 12 that fit that: Houston, Texas Tech, and Arizona. All right. So the top three teams are all making that KenPom, like what resume for what a national champion could look like. There's only eight teams in the country that do that. And you look at BYU winning at one of those teams and being the fourth team in that conference. To me, that's got to carry some weight. And I think it will when Selection Sunday shows up.
I said after the Arizona win, man, this team feels like it has some 2020 vibes in terms of how they're playing late in the season, the experience, the execution, where they've come from. What kind of vibes are you getting with this team and the way they're playing right now compared to that 2020 team, which we felt like could have made a run in March, like this team could?
Yeah, I love that 2020 team. I mean, that team was a lot of fun to watch. And I thought they were playing their best basketball down the stretch that season. I thought it was a second weekend team. I think this team is a second weekend team.
And
if things go right, like you're making shots, limiting turnovers. I mean, here's the thing about last night. Guys, like, we could sit there and just like sit there and say, wow, they won that game with 29 turnovers. How great is that? It is great, but there's a flip side to it. In the NCAA tournament, if you have 29 turnovers in a game and you're playing like Texas A&M, or you're playing, you know, one of the better teams in the country in like the Sweet 16, or, you know, the second round of the tournament, depending upon where you're seated, the likelihood is you probably walk away with a loss.
Right.
Like, that's the reality of it.
Do you think in the NCAA tournament it would be officiated like it was last night? Because I thought last night was incredibly poor.
Well, I think that the physicality of the game was to the identity of who the team is, right? Like, I mean, you look at teams that are very physical at the defensive end of the floor. Iowa State is clearly one of those teams. Houston is one of those teams as well. You know, like, Houston does a great job of showing hands and then walking into you. And they're hitting you with your body and their legs, and they're showing the official their hands. Well, that's fine, but it's a foul, right? Like, you, technically speaking, it's a foul. Do you call a foul on every possession?
No.
Like a lot of times you get normed to things. Like, when I was a player, I would usually try to set my first screen as an illegal screen. And I'd see like, okay, like I'm gonna pop this screen a little bit here and see if I can get away with it. And sometimes you get away with it. They just miss it. Other times they call it. And so then the second time you set the screen, it's still illegal and moving a little bit, but it's not as egregious as the first one. They let me get away with it. And because it's the human eye, like, that wasn't as bad as the one I just called, so I'm not going to, like, and officials do, honestly, they do a pretty good job of allowing teams to play. Now, the problem is, again, style of play makes the fight, right? And last night was a very physical game, and it was a lot of contact and a lot of, like, hey, I've got to be tough enough to fight through this. And I think that that's a growing opportunity for BYU to understand the type of games that they may have to play against teams from other conferences. You know, you're going to get in the NCAA tournament, and you don't know who you're going to play until Selection Sunday. And you face somebody, you know, like St. John's. Well, St. John's is like what Iowa State was. They're more intense. They're more physical. And so, okay, you've got to be able to rise up and meet that without turning the ball over at that rate. You turned the ball over 34% of your possessions last night. Like, that is abnormally high.
Yeah, that's
like,
frowned
that's insane.
Upon.
Okay, so there's an aspect of last night, and I want to make sure everybody understands. There's an aspect of that you're like, man, we overcame all of that. Physical play, we turned the ball over 29 times, and you win the game. That's awesome. Great. A lot of things went right for that to happen. You rebounded the ball. You shot the ball well. What happens if you don't shoot the three quite as well? I mean, this is you miss one more shot, you lose the game. And that's where I think that the margin starts to shrink. And so as excited as you can be about the win, and you should be, every BYU fan should be thrilled with the opportunity, the fact they got that win. That is a signature program-building win at Iowa State. It really is. And it shows a lot about the makeup of this team. But I do think there's also a portion of this where you do have to hit the pause button just for a second and go, okay, as great as that win was, we do that in the NCAA tournament. Neutral site, we're big arena, maybe we don't shoot the three quite as well. We're probably coming home.
Hey, let's finish with this.
And that's the reality.
Let's finish with this. It seems like there's going to be a rematch, right, in the Big 12 tournament between these two teams. How does that game look?
Looks great. I hope I'm on the call of it. You know, I mean,
quarterfinals,
like,
baby.
Be honest. Quarterfinals. I don't know what side of the bracket I'm on, if I'm on the night or the day side. You know, you look at the game, it's going to be just as intense. It's going to be just as physical, and it's going to be even louder. Jerem, how many Iowa State fans were in Kansas City last year?
A lot. They traveled great.
Like, I mean, it's like Hilton South or whatever it is, Hilton West, Hilton, whatever it is, like direction it is. Like, it is going to be sold out. It's going to be a majority of Iowa State fans. It'll be more of a road game than it will be a home game. And I expect it to be just as physical. So now the question will become, how much did you learn from that game and feeling it? Because sometimes, you know, you also have, as a player, you have to feel what the other team does. Like, it's hard. You can't replicate what Iowa State does at practice. You can't replicate what Houston does at practice. And so you have to experience it. And then once you've experienced it, how do you better equip yourself to handle it? I think, but as much as everybody wants to look forward to that potential second matchup, I would tell you this: validate what just happened. And you validate that by winning at home this weekend. You can't trip up this weekend and all of a sudden put yourself back in the five spot because you lost to Utah at home. And so buy the new Cougar Tail flavor, get a win on your home floor, and put yourself in the position where you have the opportunity now to be at that four spot, get that double bye, and then have an opportunity to advance and play Houston again. And if you lose to Houston again, it doesn't hurt you at all. If you beat Iowa State again, that'll probably help you now. But not as much of significance as yesterday, but still a significant opportunity.
Sean, we appreciate back-to-back days of coming on the program and merited a top 10 road win. And when we say BYU comes home with a win, they're still there. They got stuck in a blizzard. They're not back, baby, but they'll be back for BYU-Utah Saturday. We appreciate the time, brother.
I hope so. That storm looked nasty. I talked to Dave Fleming last night after the game, and he was like, I'm driving to Des Moines, and I'm trying to get out of here. I don't know if he got out yet. I'll put a call into Fleming to see if he got out of there.
I know the team's still there. Greg Rubel's still there. They're still making their way back home. Sean, thanks for the time, man. Always good to talk to you.
Great talking to you guys.
All right. Did you Sean see what Farnham happened there? The Cougar Tail reference, like the 20th straight interview of a Cougar Tail reference from Sean Farnham.
Sean Farnham
is
loves
the number
him.
One proponent
Absolutely.
Of the Cougar Tail.
Absolutely. And we appreciate it, him come back on.
Yeah.
Another big win, another Sean interview.
Good stuff. Can you imagine the atmosphere at the Marriott Center Saturday night?
I can.
You heard Sean say, you got to come and you got to win this one. It is going to be one for the Woo! Ages, Utah and BYU, Saturday night. Our one-hour pregame coverage on BYU TV and BYU Radio starts at 9 Eastern. Tip-off at 10 Eastern on BYU Radio and ESPNU.
That's Downhill hanging on the rim after the alley-oop.
That's nice.
That was a great
stuff.
Great moment. Coming up, the Big 12 tournament's underway for women's hoops. The latest from Kansas City, plus Big 12 honors for star freshman Delanie Gibb. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B on this winning Wednesday. I'm Jerem, he's Dave. Let's get to an abbreviated edition of headlines.
Tournament time, the Women's Big 12 Championships are underway in Kansas City. They're just about halftime in the first round matchup between BYU and UCF. All tied up at 29. The Cougars beat the Knights during the regular season. They're going to need a big second half.
Congrats to Delanie Gibb, who was unanimously named the Big 12 Freshman of the Year, becoming the third BYU Cougar to ever win Freshman of the Year conference honors. Debbie Diamond Freeland did it in the WAC. Aaron Thorne did it in the Mountain West. Now in the Big 12 for Delanie Gibb. She was also named to the second team, by the way. We thought maybe first team. Yeah. She gets second.
That's great.
Gibb was the only freshman to be named to any of the All-Big 12 first, second, or third teams. Congratulations. Coming up after 11 games on the road to open the season, BYU Baseball's home on openers this afternoon. Center fielder Crew McChesney joins us in studio to preview it next. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. What a win last night for the men's basketball team. Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann. We're also excited about the home opener for BYU baseball. Dave on the call on ESPN+. I was going to call tomorrow's game on the radio. Now it's today's game, too, because the men's basketball team got stuck. Greg's not there. We'll party at Miller Park to celebrate and talk about the home opener. We welcome to the program the starting center fielder for the Cougs, Crew McChesney's in the house, making his BYU Sports Nation debut. Crew, what's up, man? How you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on here.
How are we feeling on the home opening day?
I already got a lot of adrenaline going on right now, I can't lie. But
is it because this is your first BYU TV Sports Nation interview?
No, no.
Or is it the home opener?
This isn't too bad. I think it's the home opener in general, but we're all pumped. We're ready to go.
It's going
to
be fun.
Team's playing great. 7-2 in the last nine games. 40 runs on the road in three games at Gonzaga. What's working?
I think we're putting the ball in play. I think you look at the first week of our season, we were kind of having too many strikeouts and just too many bad at-bats. But, I mean, you look at the past couple of games, we put up, like, what, 10 runs a game or whatever it is. Yeah. And so we've been putting the ball in play and just trusting our pitchers to throw strikes, and it's been working out great.
What was it, game two at CSUN, 10 homers? I mean, that was unbelievable.
Nine in the first three innings.
That's exciting for the like radio it. Play-by-play. Yeah. Dave,
you got one, blew out to right field. Nice job.
Wind got it pretty good.
Sometimes the wind helps.
Right.
You talked about the team and the approach of the plate. What's your approach of the plate right now that's working as you're seeing the ball pretty well?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just not trying to do too much. Obviously, like, home runs are great and all, but honestly, my approach is just try to hit a nice line drive over shortstop's head and just trying to keep it simple. And obviously, yeah, I've had some good at-bats, and they'll keep it simple and get some good hits.
Let's watch some of your highlights here. Someday you're going to show these to your grandkids. Not your kids, but your grandkids. That's how vintage this footage will be.
At least it's in color, you know?
Well, leadoff batter, your job's to get on base, but it's fun to make things happen, and you have five doubles, a couple of home runs, and 13 RBI.
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
Yeah, you like what you're seeing here? You like your style?
Yeah, I like it. Looks good. Had to rock the BYU shoes today, you know, so.
Those are looking good too, man.
Good.
In a situation like this where it could be a little cool, around 40 degrees, a little cloudy, boys coming up from Stetson out of Florida, this is the advantage for BYU, right? You guys are used to playing in this.
Yeah, we've been used to this all fall, coming into the spring, and I don't know if Stetson is really that happy about it, but it's going to be a big advantage for us. I remember Tuck was telling them, like, hey, it's going to be in the 60s when you guys come and play us.
Sure it is.
So, yeah, now they're here, it's going to be in the 40s or 30s. Yeah.
That was last week, right?
Yeah. So it should be a good advantage, so it's going to be fun.
One thing I really like about this team is your defense. In the last six games, just one error. I'd say 54 innings. It's phenomenal, and there have been great plays made. But as you look at the spread of the defense, you got with Anderson in left and Herdsman in right, and you in center. You guys cover all kinds of ground out there. Your infield's rock solid. And if you, like you said, you get your pitchers to get them to hit ground balls, that feeds right into your strength.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Pratt always talks about, hey, pitchers, we're not scared if you guys throw strikes and if they get hits off you, because I promise you they're not going to hit every single time you throw strikes. We got a great defense behind us. And, yeah, I mean, like you said, one error in how many games? I don't know how many games, but
Yeah, one in six, one in the last six.
So.
How many yards can you cover out there in the center field? You can run 40 to your left, 40 to your right?
Hopefully, if it's a good day, if the legs are feeling
good.
You've
got a lot of speed. Your knees are good.
Yeah.
But do you feel like BYU's had so many good center fielders over the years? Do you feel like you're in command of that spot out there?
Yeah, I should be. So just got to keep on doing my job and just keep on doing what I'm good at.
Do you prefer a cloudy day so the sun's not in your eyes for fly balls, or is a sunny day fine?
Yeah, I mean, the sun usually is carried off to the left side, which is not too bad. I mean, there's some balls, if you go to the right and you look out, there's the sun to your left. But cloudy days are always pretty nice. It's not too stressful about the sun, which is good. So.
Last year, one of the youngest teams in America, your team, first run through the Big 12, and that was tough. Now you're all sophomores and juniors, experience. How big of a difference is it as you get ready for Stetson and UCF next week for the Big 12 opener? How different is the team from a year ago?
I think it's a lot different. I feel like from where we are from a year from now, we have we've done so much better than what we have done last year. Like you said, I mean, we were a young team last year, and kind of it was a big hop coming from the West Coast to the Big 12. And so I think we're all ready to go now. We're experienced, you know what to expect. So we're looking pretty solid.
People have heard the McChesney name over the years at BYU because Austin and Jackson were cornerbacks at BYU, or cornerback and running back respectively. Your brother Brock played at SU as well. So they played football, you played baseball. When was baseball the thing for you?
This gets asked a lot, but I was a football guy my whole entire life. Even in high school, I was a football guy. And then last minute, I tore my UCL on my elbow. And I was like, man, I might just say I'm done with baseball, just stick on to football. But my dad's like, hey, let's give you a blessing and see what happens. And then I got the blessing. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give baseball one last shot. I'm going to get the surgery and see where it goes from there. And after that, I've loved baseball. Baseball's been my main priority. And yeah, my brothers are pretty happy with it too. They're like, hey, you know, like less injuries in baseball.
football took those guys out.
Yeah. They got roughed up.
You're still in. So, yeah, you did the right thing.
We're happy you're doing baseball, so I'm happy as well.
In a couple hours, you'll come up to the plate to lead off here at the home season at Miller Park. What'll be going through your mind?
Just be calm. Just keep it simple. Just have fun. Baseball is fun. It's not work ball, it's play ball. And just got to remember that. It's just a fun sport to play and just do my thing and just hope the best comes out of it.
What's the walk-up song?
It's called The Way I Are by Timbaland. It's kind of an older song.
Timbaland, that's what I was at BYU. Yeah.
It's an older song. So. Yeah.
That's all right, old school. In honor of your brothers, right?
That's right.
Old just don't wear the Timberlands. I don't know if they're that cool anymore. No. But crew, we appreciate you coming on. Best of luck today in the opener coming up at 5 Eastern. On ESPN Plus and BYU Radio.
So. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
We will see you in just a bit. Jerem on the radio call, Gary Scheide, and I on the TV call. Again, 5 Eastern time.
Look at Coop's hair, by the way.
Tomorrow, Friday.
Hoping to see a lot of Coop's hair here.
Yeah. Coop, like McChesney, they don't like their helmets on. They like to run free when they're heading around the bases.
It's a loose helmet that happens to fly off when they slide into second. It's funny how that works. Coming up, what was your favorite moment from BYU's wild double overtime win in Ames against Iowa State? More responses to our question of the day, plus an update from Kansas City with BYU Women's Hoops after the break.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Update from Kansas City in the Big 12 first round. 12-13 game, BYU down 33-29 at halftime against UCF. Hopefully the Cougs can pull it out in the second half. Then.
Winner of that game plays number 20, Kansas State, tomorrow. So this is the one, you know, play and win in advance, right?
Yep, absolutely.
You never know what tomorrow's going to bring.
Just win today. Yeah. Our question of the day, what was your favorite moment from BYU's double overtime win at Iowa State at BYU LASF Jazz on X? 29 turnovers means even at our worst game, we're better than you. That's one way of looking
at it. That is one
way. Warned, hey, can't do that again. Well, certainly not, but plus 28 on the boards was a big time for BYU. All right, Elite Voice of the Day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated at Cook Fan 1586 on X. Definitely Kaba's block. Wait, actually Dallin's three. No, Dallin's oop. No, Richie's free throws. But Kaba's putback slam. I don't know. Why are you guys asking difficult questions?
That's what we do.
That's the most uniquely formatted response we've ever received.
He's having an argument with himself, and he brought us in.
Absolutely. I love that. Today's Rise and Shout-Out is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
We're giving a shout-out to the whole team last night winning in Ames, especially that last play, the defense from the seniors, Mag and Stewart, making a difference, getting a win on the road.
What a win, man. Yeah. Oh, Saturday.
Sets a tone for
day,
Saturday night.
Senior night, Utah. It's going to be awesome. Our thanks to today's guests, Sean Farnham and Crew McChesney. Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. Hopefully, Women's Hoops pulls it out in the second half at UCF. Again, 33-29 UCF up on BYU at halftime.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, Facebook. All our shows are on demand at BYUSN.com.
For Dave, I am Jerem. Shout out to Craig Cusick. We'll talk to you later today, 5 Eastern time, for BYU Baseball's home opener on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio. The Cougars against the Stetson Hatters. Go Cougs. What a win. More BYUSN coming up tomorrow here on BYU TV and BYU Radio.